online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump says the White House is, in his words, writing up rules and regulations for reporters. That's after a judge ordered the administration to restore credentials for CNN reporter Jim Acosta. The White House says it will temporarily reinstate those credentials after the judge's ruling. The Justice Department has filed charges under seal against WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, according to a person familiar with the situation who spoke on condition of anonymity to the Associated Press, as no charges have been publicly announced so far. The body count continues to rise in Northern California, now more than 60 people dead as a result of the Camp Fire, which is known to have destroyed close to 10,000 structures in all, and more shockingly, more than 600 people still remain missing and unaccounted for, so officials fear the death toll could drastically rise. On Wall Street right now, the Dow is up by 116 points. This is SRN News.
It is partly cloudy today with no rain in the forecast. Our high will be 61 degrees. This evening, clear. Overnight, the low, 45. And tomorrow, we are expecting a sunny day, 0% chance of showers, and the high tomorrow, 69 degrees.
Good afternoon. This is SWAT Radio. This is Tim Lusk, pastor at Eastside Community Church, sitting in for Brad and Doug, who are off doing things with their families and other things as well. I'm glad you're listening in today. It's a delight to be with you. And just a quick commercial, if you're looking for someone to worship with this Sunday, we'd love to have you at Eastside Community Church on Beach Boulevard between Kernan and Hodges Boulevard, and our worship service begins at 9:30. So love to have you there. Hey, I'm really excited because I got one of my dearest friends here, and he's going to talk about stuff that I think you're going to find absolutely fascinating. Daniel Williams is here, and it's good to have you, brother.
Thank you, Tim. It's good to be here.
Daniel, you and I worked in this city as pastors and worked on committees and all kinds of organizations, probably blew up a few along the way. We have a long history of working together.
Yeah. We really do, Tim. And yeah. It's precious times.
Yeah. We learned a lot about ourselves and about the Lord during those days. Just to orient everybody to who you are so they can know who they're listening to, we're going to get to your work, your most recent work that's related very specifically to connecting evangelical Christians in America with Israel, people in Israel, the leaders in Israel, and so forth, which we know is very important. We'll get to that in a minute. That's kind of the teaser to have everybody stick around. Tell us, so your wife, you just go back and tell us how you came to know the Lord, how you and Sharon met each other. Give us a little bit of family background.
Tim, I'm a Jacksonville native. My parents came here from Middle Georgia.
What part of town did you grow up in?
Northside, in the Rebalt Manor area.
Okay.
And until I was about 12, at which time our family moved to the Arlington area, which was kind of a common thing going on at that time. And so I was right here, born in Jacksonville, raised in Jacksonville, and I've lived here all my life, except for a few years in Costa Rica and a few years in Ecuador.
Yeah, you had a lot of foreign ministry stuff going on. We're going to come back to that in a minute. But so you met Sharon where?
High school.
Yeah, high school sweetheart.
Terry Parker High School.
Rock on high school sweetheart.
There you go. Right? Yeah. And we started dating in high school. We were 16. We got married at 18.
Yeah, there you go.
I had a bunch of kids, 4 children, and 13 grandchildren.
Wow.
So we've been busy.
Yeah. Well, good for you. Doug and Brad and I talk a lot about our wives and just the incredible sovereign grace of God bringing these women into our lives and the fact that they've stuck around for so long.
Well, right. Well, and Sharon and I have journeyed through so much in life. We, like I said, we grew up both in Jacksonville, and she was born again at a church. I think it was Terry Parker Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. And I was from a little church called Forest Hills Baptist Church.
Yeah.
and we met in high school and went through all those kind of life experiences together. And then eventually that led us into ministry.
Yeah. And so talk us through real quick the ministries you've done here in Jacksonville. And then I want to also hear you talk a little bit about Sharon and what she's doing, because she just got home safely this morning from Thailand.
Yeah, right. She just came in from Thailand with her crowd. She always takes teams with her.
Okay.
And they just got in really early this morning.
Yeah. So you, how did your ministry begin?
Really, it started from the time I really gave my life to Jesus, and we both did that sort of at the same time. I mean, I was born again as a little boy, like a lot of young fellas. I walked the sawdust trail, as it were, literally.
Right.
They would set up a little kind of a tent next to our church.
Right. Revival meeting.
That's right. Yeah. Over on Pearl Street Main Street or something. Main Street, I think it was. And they'd set it up, and that's how I got saved. And she had her own experience sort of like that, completely apart from each other, obviously. And then once we really began to date is about the time that all of that sort of we recovered that. We both attended Arlington Baptist Church.
Uh-huh.
And it was in a time of some really good spiritual things that were happening there at the church. And so that's how we got started. And from there, I mean, we'd take people into our home, and then pretty soon we're opening a coffee house, and pretty soon it just kind of went on from there.
So we
planted a few churches here in the area, and then from there just launched to the world.
And you then began ministry overseas. What was your first? Now, you went to Russia. I know you were involved in Russia a lot, which I love to talk about, because that's where I've been a lot.
Yeah, actually, we had by the time I got there, Sharon and I started an organization a long time ago called Calvary International. And
over on the south side.
Yeah, we founded it in here in Jacksonville, and then we did it as sort of our vehicle for going to into our international work in Costa Rica.
Okay.
And but from there we began to meet a lot of other missionaries like ourselves, and we just started building a track for other people and getting involved in training and sending and helping churches understand how today that same ministry, that was in 1981, that same ministry is called Go to Nations. They changed changed the name of it a few years ago. I led it for 19 years. I was the president, and then stayed around a couple of years in transition for Dr. Jerry Williamson, who's now the president. And I just was at a board. I don't even go to the board meetings. I'm on the board forever, but I don't go. What do they need me there for? But I went to one about 3 or 4 months ago and was just blown away at the newest report. They're now in 99 countries around the world.
Wow.
Millions and millions of people have come to Christ, planted thousands of churches, and they're involved in every kind of ministry you can imagine. So that's still very much in my blood, and certainly in Sharon's blood even more so.
Right. Yeah, our people who are listening need to hear these stories, because what we get in the news constantly now is so pared down and so geared toward, so much devastation in the world, and we don't hear the understory of all the good things that are happening that Christians are doing around the world.
Tim, I mean, it's so much more than we could explain in a situation like this, but let me just give you a little story real quick.
Okay.
One story is we had a Bible school here some years ago called Christ of the World here in Jacksonville. And we had a student that came from Peru. And I don't even know how he got here. He happened to be living in Jacksonville. He spoke enough English, came to our Bible school. I think he came for a year, lost track with him. This was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
This is back around 87. And I lost track with him. And so in the meantime, I've gotten involved in something else that is more involved in the government side. And we work a lot with very powerful evangelical leaders around the world in various countries, along with the Jewish community. And I meet this guy again not so long ago. He was back in Jacksonville, wanted to let me know what had been going on. He tracked me down. Come to find out, this guy is he's sort of like an apostle or something in Peru. They've got churches all over Peru, but he also had a vision for getting evangelical Christians to be involved in politics.
Huh.
And he actually started a school to train evangelicals how to go into politics there in Peru. And as it turned out, six, I think it was, of the parliamentarians that we had in our caucus that from the organization I've been working with in more recent years, in that caucus, he had trained every one of them had gone to that school.
Wow.
And so you see how funny things can turn out.
Yeah.
So believe me, there are a lot of, there are a lot more stories like that than there are of all the terrible things that are happening.
Yeah. I'm thinking of the folks that are listening out there, who probably see what they do as much smaller and more mundane than the kind of exciting stories you're talking about worldwide. But the core of that story is, so here's this lady listening today, or this guy who's teaching, you know, seventh graders in Sunday school and has no clue what their personal investment of time, energy, and love and the Word of God in that kid might produce someday down the road. And so it's always good to take what we're talking about and stick it right in front of these people and say, you guys out there, stay faithful. You have no idea. You have no idea how God is going to use what you do. Tell us about Sharon. She's working in the sex trade.
No.
Not working in the, you know what I mean.
Yes.
She's working against the sex trade.
Well, that's one of the things she's doing. Thank
words, God. Words are important.
Words do matter.
That's right.
What she does is she... You know, again, we had a missionary background. Then we pastored in churches like in Ponte Vedra Beach for a bunch of years and other places around. And but she probably, it was about 15 years ago, she started really getting interested in actually, I think it was 18 years ago. I think it was in the year 2000. She got really interested in starting to do mission trips again, short-term trips, started taking women out of our church. And that has just kind of grown. And as we moved out of pastoring, we began a little organization called Act for the Nations, and she has just built that thing from the ground up, has built teams of women. She just got back from Thailand. She was doing, some amazing stuff in Thailand. We're working with leaders, but what she typically does is she finds people that are on the mission field that are doing really great work, and obviously because of our background with GoTo Nations, we know missionaries all over the world. But she's just really gone out there and found people that no one knew about. And a lot of them are doing things like taking children out of sex trafficking. For instance, there's a little island that's in a river between Burma and Thailand. And there is this island that nobody claims. People live there. Mm. Tribal people live there. Well, the bad guys just go in and just steal their kids. The governments won't protect them. Neither government wants to claim that as their own.
Yeah.
And so they go in and steal their kids. And so there's a rescue ministry that's there to get those kids and get them out of there. And so she'll take a team in, and they'll pray for those leaders. They'll babysit all the kids or whatever. They'll bring a whole team in to do that, do a retreat for all the leadership, and just pray over them and encourage them. So she's just an amazing person.
You know, I was in Bangkok, I think about 3 years ago, and it was the darkest place I think I've ever been in my life.
It is.
And just the oppression I felt when I got off the airplane, the spiritual oppression. There's a lot of strongholds in that part of the world. God bless her for being that woman who goes into the dark, you know, to help these kids and these young ladies. So today, we're talking with Daniel Williams. I'm Tim Lusk. I'm filling in for the guys today. And we're going to be taking phone calls here in the last segment. And if you want to call in, it's 904-401-1413, 904-401-1413. And you can catch the radio streaming live, SWAT radio streaming live at www.swatradio.com. Hey, we're just getting started with a conversation. I think you're going to find a fascinating part of this conversation when we come back. My friend Daniel has been working with leaders in Israel and leaders in America and countries around the world, just in helping Israel in the things that are going on there. So we're going to be back in a few minutes. Be thinking about the questions you have about that, and we'll talk about your ministry around the world. We'll talk about Israel and what's going on there. So hang around. We'll see you in a minute.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
Okay, we're back. SWAT Radio, Tim Lusk sitting in today for Doug and Brad with my good friend Daniel Williams. And I want to clarify that your wife is not working in the sex trade. What I meant to say was she's working, helping girls and women get out of sex trafficking in different parts of the world, and particularly in Bangkok. And that whole Golden Triangle area there is just really rife with that kind of hideous evil.
Yeah. That entire part of the world, but frankly, it's everywhere.
Right.
It's here in America. It's just we don't see it quite as openly, or we don't think of it as being sex trade, but
right.
In fact, it really
yeah.
is.
You know, I read a statistic not too long ago that Atlanta, Georgia has become the sex trafficking capital of America this particular year. It kind of comes and goes in different cities, and Jacksonville's high up on that list, third in the entire state. So that's a whole different question, maybe for another day, but I know the folks out there are interested. When I brought up Israel and what you've been doing, walk us through what you feel free to tell us, just how this involvement of yours began, how it grew, what the purpose was, and assume that we know nothing, which is a fair assumption, and just walk us through quickly how you ended up doing what you're doing.
Well, Tim, sometimes it's kind of a joke, but it's really not. I'm sort of like one of the most well-known people that's a nobody in the world. And the reason is I never did the TV or the radio or some more the larger mass media kind of things. I've always done work that was training, sending, et cetera, et cetera. Well, because of that, I'm relatively known among leadership in various places in the world. Well, so I'm going to have to roll back now to about 2004. In 2004, there was what we call the Intifada. And Intifada, it means uprising. And there have been two major uprisings in Israel where you had the Palestinians rioting and bombing, and you had involvement of outside players, a lot of them right. from other countries that hate Israel, hate the Jews. And so this was the second Intifada was happening, and people quit going to Israel. And it turned out to be a disaster. Israel tried to push Hezbollah out of southern Lebanon and rolled tanks in, and the whole world turned against them, and it was a disaster. And during that time, people quit going to Israel. The Catholics quit going, the Orthodox quit going, the Muslims quit going, the evangelicals didn't quit going. And something happened that the Israeli government recognized, and that was while everybody was running away from Israel, not standing with them, all of these, the kind of craziest group of Christians that they had ever seen and really didn't right. know a lot about were these Bible-toting, Christians that—
Evangelicals.
Yeah, evangelical yeah. Christians.
Yeah.
And, bringing their anointing oil and oil, anointing the wall and all this kind of stuff. And they didn't realize, number one, how many there are in
right.
the world. And they didn't realize that there's a difference between this particular type of Christian than the ones that they traditionally understood that were pretty much anti-Israel and or replacement with replacement theology, that Israel has no covenant, that God turned his back on the Jews and they're cursed forever and all this other stuff. And they They actually formed a caucus within their Knesset, their parliament, to study Christians, and it's called the Knesset Christian Allies Caucus. And there's not a Christian in it. It's not a Christian caucus. It's a caucus to build stronger relationships specifically with evangelical Christians. And that's how, and so what happened is they having a little trouble knowing who to put in the same room or who to talk to. They literally hired a young man who's now the president of the Israel Allies Foundation. They hired him to go out and to meet Christians. And in that process, apparently my name came up a few times, and all of a sudden they chased me down. Well, I had never been to Israel, not that I didn't love it and care about it, but actually Israel was the 71st country I visited. But when I went, because they hounded me for about 6 months, and they finally hooked me by giving me the opportunity to address the Knesset,
right,
which there is their parliament. And so here I am, a Christian, doing a small address there at the parliament. But it was also for me a real education, which was what they were trying to do. They were trying to educate me on the real issues, and for whatever reasons, it felt like I would be helpful to them in consulting with them on how to do a better job of mobilizing evangelical Christians.
Yeah. So what was that like standing there in the Knesset?
Well, it was, God has given me some opportunities in life where I've been able to do a lot of amazing things, like walk or talk. Or
and do them at the same time.
Or
right?
Not drool, you know. Right. I mean, if you think about it, we all, we just do what we have, and we do what we have opportunities to. And I've had a lot because of just the nature of the calling on my life. But it seemed normal. It's strange, but it seemed okay. I was nervous. About 6 weeks ago, I spoke to the Guatemalan Congress in Spanish on anti-Semitism. Who gets to do this stuff?
Right.
And I mean, I really feel like God just sort of elected me into some of that. It's not because I'm that qualified or the smartest guy in the room. Maybe it's I'm just available.
Right.
But anyway, so that was 12 years ago. From that experience 12 years ago, I really began to understand the issues, I also saw that we're in a moment. We're in a moment that's practically a miracle. We have never had the kind of open conversation between Jews and Christians and cooperation that we do today in right. this moment we're in, never in history.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the 12 years that I've been involved in it, I've watched it grow from this very tenuous beginning to, I close several of my conversations end with them. I'll be speaking to one of my Jewish Israeli friends or one of my American Jewish friends, and they'll say, "Love you, brother." Now, that may not seem like a big deal, but
it's a huge deal.
It's incredible. It's like a bridge that's gone over the Grand Canyon. And so I see things changing. And so it's pretty exciting the hour that we're in. Tim.
Yeah.
And the thing is anybody, I don't care if you're listening to this broadcast right now, you can have a direct part in that. Now, I'm not about to take up an offering here or ask for anything. Just pray every day for the peace of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
You get started with that and watch how God will begin to use you, and he'll be bringing people into your life that you can be a part of, that because there's like a wave that's happening, and it's all over the world, Tim.
Yeah.
Where Christians' hearts are being turned to Jerusalem. Christians' hearts are being turned to pray for the Jewish people and to stand with them.
Mm. And so you've not only been to Israel and many times and dealt with their leadership, but other countries as well. You've been involved in helping to mobilize and connect different organizations, different church leaders and so forth in all these different countries.
Yeah,
to do the same thing that is happening here.
Absolutely. Our founding leader, who's actually Rabbi Benny Alon, he was a minister of tourism when he was a part of this caucus. And eventually he left that role so he could lead this caucus within the Knesset. Well, he began to see that as he met a lot of other leaders being in that role as a minister of tourism prior to that and being in the caucus, he realized that a lot of evangelicals were actually in government or power players, as it were. And they got a vision back, I think it was around 06 or 07 maybe, a vision to have a caucus within the U.S. or the U.S. Congress. And so we actually formed, I think it was in 08, it actually formally formed a caucus within the U.S. Congress. And we always have four chairmen, two Democrats and two Republicans. Mm-hmm. And we try to be bipartisan. And actually, this issue is more bipartisan than just about anything else in government. But so we formed this, and we had two Republican chairmen. One was from Florida, Dave Weldon from Melbourne area, and the other was this guy from Indiana. We now call him Mr. Vice President, Mike Pence.
Right.
And so we've through those years, from these times, we've had some great leaders, national leaders, that became a part of our caucus, stood up for Israel, but really it was their faith that informed their support and their policy. You know, policy is nothing but ideas. Politics is, I mean, everybody's pretty sick of it right now, all the politics.
Right.
But come on, policy is an idea. Politics is just putting policies in place. And so there you go.
You know, this conversation is so timely because we just had an election, went through that whole dirty media splash, you know, that we get every election. And I think you're right. A lot of people are just sick of the whole thing. And yet, we need to hear the stories of the things that are happening behind the scenes, the things that God is working behind the scenes. As he, you know, I have a friend who likes to say, God's always up to something. And this is encouraging to us as Christians to know that, yeah, there are Christians in Washington, D.C., and they are good people, and they're doing good things. And you're not going to hear about it on the evening news, in all likelihood. You're going to hear it in personal, anecdotal stories like you're telling here.
Yeah. Well, look, you know, Jim Garlow is one of my buddies. You probably know who Jim Garlow is from out in California. But Jim is a really powerful evangelical leader. But their ministry supports a couple of prayer groups, actually three that I can think of. One is in the UN. One is in Congress. It meets every week at the congressional prayer meeting. And one's in the Supreme Court. And you'd be surprised who's sitting in those meetings and who's praying across the aisle, from very disparate backgrounds, but these are people that really are there in that role, not because they're after power, but they really believe God has them in that position. And so there are a lot of them, and the beauty of it is that's a growing number of people in other countries as well. Like, as I mentioned, Guatemala, but I mean, we've actually got caucuses in 38 countries with about 1,000 legislators or parliamentarians. And I would easily say that 90% of them are evangelical Christians.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's a great story. We need to hear more about that. We're going to hear more about that in just a little bit. But the purpose of these caucuses is to connect Christians with leaders in Israel and to promote pro-Israel
policy ideas
in these congresses, these parliaments, and so forth. In the federal governments of these countries. Yeah, wow. So you may be sitting out there going, hey, I got 10 questions. I need to pull off the side of the road. Don't try to do it while you're driving. 904-401-1413. In our last segment, we're going to be taking some calls if you have time to call. And by the way, props to Steve, who's here today, always faithful on the buttons back there. We appreciate you, brother, for helping with the program every day. So I'm talking to Daniel Williams, a good brother of mine, good friend of mine. We've been in ministry together in various ways, eating a lot of rubber chicken, haven't we?
We have.
All across this town. And a lot of good brothers and sisters in the Lord out there that we've had the joy of connecting with over the years. Want to hear more about what God's doing in Israel. And so I'll be there a week from today. I'll be in Israel.
Awesome.
Thanks to Doug and Lori McCary. We're going with them. My wife, Allison, and I are going. First time we've ever been. And we're excited about that. So we would appreciate your prayers as we travel next week. So Daniel Williams is here. We're going to be talking about, when we come back, specifically what's happening in Israel. And you used a phrase, a prophetic materialization, I believe is the phrase you used. Is that close?
That's correct.
Okay. So you're creating a new theology here. So I want to come back and talk to you about that in just a moment. We actually see this in Scripture,
don't we?
Yeah. So if you're intrigued about what's going on in Israel, Hang on a few seconds. We're going to take a hard break for the news. We'll be back. This is SWAT Radio.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump is confirming he's been writing out his answers to questions from special counsel Robert Mueller. Here's White House correspondent Greg Clugston.
The president told reporters that he has finished responding to written questions from Robert Mueller's ongoing Russia investigation.
They didn't take very long to do them, and they were my answers. I don't need lawyers to do that.
He did not say when the answers will be submitted, but continued to maintain his innocence. The president declared there never should have been any Mueller investigation while claiming it was a waste of millions of dollars. Greg Clugston, the White House.
The president, meanwhile, says the White House is, in his words, writing up rules and regulations for reporters. That's after a judge ordered the administration to restore credentials for CNN reporter Jim Acosta. Snow and ice on a few windshields, notwithstanding. First snowstorm of the season did give way to rain and high winds in New York City today. Commuters there and across New Jersey faced slow rides to work. That storm also blamed for 7 deaths across several states yesterday. It was more harsh than many people had been expecting. Iowa's Chuck Grassley trading his gavel as chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee to instead take over as chairman of the powerful Finance Committee.
A role he previously held. Grassley will replace Utah's Orrin Hatch, who's retiring. The move also puts South Carolina's Lindsey Graham in line to head the Judiciary Committee. Once he takes over in January, Graham would play a huge role in the confirmation process for the next Attorney General.
That is correspondent Wally Hines on Capitol Hill. That big wildfire burning in Northern California, spreading smoke hundreds of miles away. In some places, it could cause problems. San Francisco resident Chloe Allegrant.
It's pretty uncomfortable. I mean, it's definitely causing, shortness of breath.
The California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection says that wildfire is now about 45% contained. It's blamed for at least 63 deaths. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You're seeing some delays because of an accident on I-95 southbound at the exit at Emerson Street. Also, a multi-vehicle crash in the clearing stages on the East Beltway, 295 southbound at the exit at Butler Boulevard. And there's a disabled vehicle, I-10 eastbound, just before the U.S. 301 Baldwin exit. Sunny this afternoon, clear and cold tonight, low 38. Saturday, more sunshine, high 69.
So we're back. This is SWAT Radio. Tim Lusk sitting in today for Doug and Brad, and I'm having this wonderful reunion with my good brother and friend Daniel Williams. We go way back and a lot of ministry together, and God has taken us on different paths, God is using you in an amazing way, and we were just talking off the air about he seems to pick the guys that just don't want the microphone and don't want to stand up and be, up front. And that's been part of the story of your life. You've just been this faithful guy who just hung around long enough to, be faithful and hang in there. And we see how God uses men and women like that and children like that in the Bible. I think of Jonah, for example. One speech that he didn't want to make, most people don't realize that the book of Nahum is the 100 years after Jonah prophecy of the final downfall of Assyria. And one speech by a guy who wasn't even that faithful, but God blessed it, ended up holding off the judgment of God on an entire empire for 100 years. And God just works in funny ways, doesn't he?
He does. Well, Nehemiah, we've got a cupbearer who we think of him as a great leader, which he did become. The guy was a cupbearer for a king.
Right.
But God put something on his heart, and he was humble enough and risked his own future to do something that was really impossible.
Right.
And we still talk about it today.
Yeah, I hope this is encouraging to people who are listening, because there's this tendency, especially in America, where everybody Everything, including the church, is run by the celebrities, you know, and that's all you see. So you think of yourself as somebody that God would never use me even remotely like that. And yet, what does the scripture say? The Lord's eyes are running to and fro on the earth, looking for those who believe in him, will have faith and be obedient to him. And a lot of the great things that have happened throughout the history of the church, history of the world, have been just normal people who were available to an extraordinary God. So thank you for your life and your testimony and your encouragement to guys like us in the ministry. Let's get back to Israel, because I know people want to hear about this. So I was watching on the news all those rockets flying into southern Israel the other day, and my wife is watching that, and we're saying, hey, we're going to be on a plane, going to be there in the danger zone.
Hopefully not quite to Gaza.
not down there. But so Israel, we know in Scripture, God's chosen people. We know that God made a covenant with Abraham and carried that covenant forward through several other covenants and so forth. And there is a part of the church that just thinks that once the church came around, Israel is no more. They're off the table. But you don't believe that. And tell me why you don't believe that.
Well, I mean, it's really sad, Tim. And I don't have time, obviously, in this format like this to give the kind of depth that it would really deserve. But really, from the early church fathers, there was an anti-Semitism that right. came into the theology of the church. And a confusion. The idea that we replaced Israel as God's people is a silly concept. We were grafted in.
Right.
Paul was very clear on this in the New Testament, where we were grafted in, and what we can't say is the limbs that were grafted in, that the tree's no good. That's still the tree. God's promise, you know, Jesus was not promised to Gentiles. We were grafted in. Jesus was promised to the Jews. Mm-hmm. And there are those that think, well, because they rejected him, then as a people, they've been rejected. But that is not the case. You see the hand of God. The miracle of in our lifetime to see a country that really was literally birthed out of the ashes of the Holocaust,
right.
literally mm-hmm. birthed out of that, the survivors. I've not met anybody over a certain age that didn't lose someone that's Jewish, that didn't mm-hmm. lose someone in the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. I mean, and they're almost all gone, by the way, the survivors.
Right.
They're old. And pretty soon, nobody will be alive that heard the cries or smelled the smells. But I've had the privilege to be in their midst and to be around them, but they know that God did not turn His back on them as a people. Mm-hmm. Now, does that equate, you know, the nation of Israel as a government to the promises that God made to the people? I would say that they're not one and the same, but let's face it. You look in the Bible, every Bible story includes somebody in power. It's right. always a king or a prince or somebody of that, you know, right. level. Government's always a part of that process. And believe me, if there was no state of Israel, there would be no Jewish homeland. There would not be a place that the Jews can go and to live and to be together and be in safety. And even still, they're not in safety. Right. They still are attacked. But believe me, they're not going anywhere. And I count it a privilege in my life to be able to, on the basis of my own faith, my own biblical worldview, be able to be supportive of their right to be in that land and their right to have Jerusalem as right. their undivided capital.
Yeah. So somewhere in this process, this thought came in your mind, and you've given it a title, prophetic materialization. Talk about that a little bit. What do you mean by that?
Well, I grew up probably like you did, where they would put the charts up on the front of the church, you know, that we didn't have video and all that stuff, but they would roll out these charts.
Right.
You'd every year, at least once a year, sometimes twice, you'd go through this prophetic clock that we're in, and it was Bible prophecy, and you go back and you'd look and this is what God has said, and this is what right. and usually a part of that was the restoration of the nation
and
of Israel.
A lot of that got popularized, late great Planet Earth,
sure,
the Left Behind movies and so forth.
Sure. Yeah. And so that was something I grew up in. But I'll be honest, I'm like the worst Bible prophecy guy at this stage that you've ever seen, because I've always been a Bible materialization guy. I hear, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So what do I do with my life? I spend a big part of my life
right.
doing that and yeah. helping other people do that. It's so, you know, I look at it like this. So God says, let there be light, right? But he's the Alpha Omega, so he's living in every moment at the same time. Not us. We're stuck in Chronos, of course. We're stuck in chronological time. But God, you know, he's Alpha and Omega. He's, you know, he introduces himself as the I Am. I mean, well, he is, and he's, and so he holds time within his hands. And so, you know, so when God says, "Let there be light," to us, that might be there might be a thousand years before that manifests in our time, but for God, it's always instant.
Right.
So when God says it, it's instant. It's already done because he's already there in the future, and that's happening. So at what point, you know, you go from prophecy to materialization? We have no control over that. What we can do is we can study what God says is going to happen.
Right.
We can't make it happen. But when it is happening, we're a part of it. It doesn't happen apart from God's people. It doesn't happen apart from somebody obeying, somebody being moved by something in their heart to go to another country or to go to their neighbor or to whatever it is. There's that inner motivation from God himself. And I look at that as the materialization of prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us should be engaged in the materialization of prophecy, not trying to force it to happen. But look, when it's happening, pay attention.
Right.
Get involved with it. Jesus says, you know, remember the whole thing with the tree. He says, you guys can predict what, you know, the season you're in, and you're missing this whole thing that's happening here.
Right. Well, and what you're really saying also is that prophecy really is a promise.
It is a promise.
That when God says that from every nation, tribe, and tongue, there will be people at the throne, that's not only a prophecy of what will happen in eternity, that's a promise to us that as we go, he's already there and he's already working in the hearts of people. And as John Piper says, why would you not do that?
That's right. It's already happened to God.
And
it's just a matter of whenever he's at that time that he has
set. And we see that in the Old Testament. So I want to make sure I get the story straight. But you have Nehemiah in reading prophecies. He realizes that the wall is supposed to be rebuilt. So he actualizes that himself. He actually realizes one day that God is picking him to do that. And it's not real big special people that God picks. It's all of us mere mortals out here. So somebody out there, God may use them to fulfill his promises and his prophecies in the smallest or the largest ways if they're just faithful people. Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, look, we make prayer a lot more complicated than it really is. Let's start with that one. So Jesus is standing there with his disciples, and he got all these people around him. Remember, he says they look like a harvest that's ready to come in. It's white. There's ready to be brought in. He says to the disciples, "You pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest."
Right.
Well, that is a bizarre thing that he says there. Why? Because he is the Lord of the harvest. If he wants it, he'll get it done, right?
Right.
Except.
So the prayer is not for him.
It's not for him. Except that we know the story. They all became the answer to those prayers. And so the point is, it's what I call alignment. Prayer is alignment. It's not trying to get God. It's not like on the scene reporting about something that God doesn't know, so therefore you pray over it. When I begin to pray, I begin to align with the will of God. So that's why I would say, number one, write this day, right this minute, right in the next 30 seconds, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Do that every day and watch what happens in terms of your heart's alignment to this moment that we're in right now.
Yeah. And so as you began that process, God progressively pushed you further and further into this leadership role and this bridge building role, connecting role between people in America, people in Israel, people in other countries, Christians in other countries, leaders, so forth, and the leadership of Israel. That's pretty exciting.
It is.
That we're seeing so much prophecy. A lot of people will say, we're seeing a lot of prophecy today, but don't see themselves connected to it directly. It's like it's happening third person. And what you're saying is that as we pray for the things that God tells us to pray for, we can be just as involved in it as a Bible story, a character in a Bible story would be. Wow. Well, we're going to come back in just a few minutes. We're going to take a break. I'm talking to Daniel Williams. He is, what are you? What's your title?
Well, up until June, I was the executive director of the Israel Allies Foundation.
Okay.
Now what I've done is I've kind of gone back more into a consulting role. So I'm the executive director of Act for Israel now.
Okay. And you're a consultant now. Wow. That's a great job to have. No, we're gonna talk about that in a minute. But Daniel has been doing a lot of work in the relationship of evangelical Christians around the world with the Nation of Israel, leadership of Israel. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by IPC Technologies. IPC Technologies offers IT and communication solutions. They offer help to organizations in selecting and implementing on-premises technologies, cloud-based solutions, and carrier services. IPC offers end-to-end solutions. Their suite of services includes engineering and implementation of services, virtual CTO services, monitoring and proactive maintenance, remote and on-site support and consulting, and staff augmentation. You may reach IPC at 804-622-7233 and online at www.ipctech.com.
All right, we're back. SWAT Radio. Tim Lusk sitting in today. And delighted to have my good brother and friend Daniel Williams with me. And we ended at the break, you talking about being a consultant. So that can be a tricky thing. People don't always pay for consulting. I hope Sharon's got a good job.
Well, we both are in the same boat, which is we have to end up being self-funded. And says we're not wealthy, that means other people help us.
Well, if Brad and Doug were here, they would say, since you've shaved your head, if you grow a goatee, you can be a youth pastor.
So, there you go.
All right. Hey, we got just a few minutes left. We're talking about Israel. And gosh, we could be on this for months. So we've got just a few minutes. Summarize down for us what you see happening that's so biblical, that's so compelling to you, why you've given so much of your life to this question over the last few years.
Well, I mean, look, Jerusalem is the epicenter of the Bible, especially for Christians, but it's true for the Jews as well. It is the epicenter of the Bible. All of the stories revolve in some way around that one focal point. And when God says that he chose Jerusalem for his name to dwell forever, well, last time I checked, we're still in forever.
Right.
I mean, it's like we're still in that time period. And so the bottom line is, it's really the heart of Judaism, but it's also the heart of Christianity. Why do you think it is the heart of so much attention of the world? It's very simple. If Israel exists, the Bible is true. If the Bible exists, the Quran is not, or any other religion is not. Our faith as Christians and as Jews is rooted in the same promises to the same people. And we are a part of watching it unfold in our lifetime.
Right.
And so it's the seminal, as far as I'm concerned, it's the seminal issue. To me, there are only two basic issues for the Christians, and that is the Great Commission, wherever you are, going into your world and sharing a real, living, powerful Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, the right for Israel to exist as a people because God made a covenant with them. And a city where he made a covenant with a city where his name would dwell forever.
Yeah, boy, I can hear people out there saying, what do I do here? How can I get connected? How can I get some information? If you, just real quick, do you have like a website or some information you can give to the folks?
Yeah, it's actforisraelnow.com, A-C-T, the number 4, IsraelNow.com.
Okay.
Go on there. You're going to find several things. One is a daily prayer for Israel, for Jerusalem in particular. A lot of times people go, well, I'm praying for the peace of Jerusalem, but I kind of ran out of words after, Lord, bring peace to Jerusalem.
Right.
And I give a sort of a prayer model for that, and they can take that and launch off from there. But they'll also see some other opportunities. Come with me sometime to Israel. I do advocacy tours, not just pilgrimages.
Right. Okay. Hey, we've got a caller. Jeff is on the line. Jeff, are you there?
Yes. Hi. Hello?
Do we have Jeff?
Yes.
Okay, we'll let Steve figure out the technology there. We'll keep going. So, is there...
Hello?
We get a lot of information. We have information overload, and we're finding more and more every day how much of that information is either false or semi-false.
Hello?
Are there sources of information that you use to get the real story out of Israel?
Yeah, I mean, for one thing, the news out of Israel, I watch very carefully. So I Google alert... three newspapers. They've got one that's to the left, one in the center, and one to the right. I watch those and I compare. Secondly, I'm fortunate enough to get some pretty good briefings.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why people might want to come and listen. I'm starting to do a gathering occasionally called the Jerusalem Call Community, and it's just a gathering to really talk about some of these kind of things and pray, have a night of prayer and sort of updating on issues for people, as well as the biblical underneath that.
I want to come back to that. I think we have, is Jeff back? Okay, Jeff, are you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, for some reason our technology is not working today. Would you apologize to Jeff? We'll have him call in another time. So somebody out there may be saying, man, I'd love to hear you talk. I'd love to hear, a speech that you give or some class or whatever. How can they get in touch with you and how can they do that?
Well, you can write me on email, Daniel at actforisraelnow.com. That's just put Daniel at, first of all, but secondly, we're actually going to have a gathering on November the 30th at 7 p.m. at the Bay Meadows campus of the Church of 1122. And they've been kind enough to allow us to use their facility for that. So we're going to have this kind of briefing. And I'm really at this point trying to really find a kind of a core of people that are in our area that would be wanting to be involved in being an advocate, not only here in Jacksonville, but in some other places as well. I mean, this is all pretty much just, one person at a time.
Yeah. So what's the most amazing thing you've seen God do? You have a particular story, particular moment where you sat back and said, that's pretty spectacular.
Well, the move of the embassy would have been the moment. We worked on that. We worked on that behind the scenes, and a lot of other people did too. But we had a pretty high level involvement in that actual move. In fact, I was fortunate enough to be invited, along with a couple of my other colleagues, to the opening of the embassy just a few months ago in Jerusalem. That moment... in fact, I was at the opening on Monday for the U.S. Embassy. We also had a big hand in the Guatemalan Embassy opening, moving. And so I was at that on Monday. On Tuesday, I spoke again at the Knesset. And on Wednesday, I was at the Guatemalan Embassy opening. And it was a miracle moment in that country. It's hard to explain it, but I've never seen the Israelis so happy. I've never seen such smiling. People don't understand the value that had, the affirmation that was to them as a people, that the United States of America would move our embassy back to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And now Guatemala, and by the way, they're lining up. I know of at least seven more that have already announced that they're going to do something, they're going to move their embassy. So that is, that was probably, for me personally, I cried. I stood in the streets and cried to see that moment, that joy. Of people that they've had 500 missiles fired at them in the last 36 hours. This is what they live with. You have to be within 17 seconds of a bomb shelter at all times in Israel because of the possibilities of rockets being fired. Mm-hmm. They don't fire them at tourists because that would be bad for business.
Right.
They fire them at the Israelis in the little towns down in the Negev and just around.
Right.
And so it's that, to see that joy, that unfettered joy, and children dancing in the streets and waving American flags and Israeli flags. I cried like a baby.
Wow, what a story. It was not a popular decision by our government to do that, and they're still catching a lot of grief for it.
Even though it was been the law since 1995, which most people don't even know. It was called the Jerusalem Embassy Act of 1995. It was passed as a law. It was it's been in law, and all that Trump did was not sign a waiver. There had been every 6 months, every president since President Clinton had been signing that waiver every 6 months to not move it. It's been the law for years. It's just no one had the courage to actually do it.
Right.
And because why? The whole Middle East was going to blow up. Did it? Has it been more blown up? I mean, wasn't it already blown up?
And how are you going to keep from blowing up the Middle East, right?
How do you know when it's blown up? I mean, yeah. It's been this way for a long time. It didn't. All of the predictions didn't happen.
You know, that statement you made just a moment ago, that you have to be within 17 seconds of a bomb shelter wherever you are in Israel. I think people have a sort of an abstract understanding of the danger. You know, Israel's a small country surrounded by, Muslim countries or whatever, and the hatred's there and the desire to destroy them. But I don't know that we understand the reality, the present reality of every man, woman, boy, and girl, that every school, every bus, every store front, every building you go into, every field that you walk into to farm, every place you go to buy something, you carry with you the burden that at any moment something could take your life away.
It's the only country in the world that all of the school buses have bulletproof windows.
Wow.
And steel explosion plates underneath.
Mm.
I mean, there's no other place in the world that has to face that kind of thing. Why would children have to face that kind of thing?
Yeah, so that informs how we pray. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but we also pray for those people who are caught up in that, and there's a lot of innocent people caught up between big bad actors in the region and so forth.
Well, and not just that, it's the Jewish people worldwide they live with this consciousness,
right?
You know, and frankly, like even the shootings that happened just a few weeks ago at the synagogue, the grief, the worldwide grief among the Jewish people was absolutely palpable.
Yeah, they never get away from this, do they?
Never get away.
Not until Jesus comes back. It's like every age, every continent, every decade, there's always something going on as the enemy seeks to destroy the Jewish people.
But that's the miracle of this moment. The miracle of this moment, Tim, is that millions, and I mean it is in the tens of millions of evangelical Christians, are awakening to this reality and sharing that pain and their rootedness in the faith that we have, being rooted in the faith that they have. And so it's a different moment. It's never been like this before, ever.
Yeah. And we can continue to pray for Israel, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, support the Jewish people, support the nation of Israel, while still having compassion on the folks around them.
Sure, of course.
Who, so many of them are caught in the middle of themselves. They have no desire to be at war. They just want to be left alone and like the rest of us and grow their children and have good schools and so forth. And so we don't have to pick sides, so to speak, in the battle. We can pray for all the people in that region and that the gospel will take hold. Hey, we got 1 minute left, and man, we need to get you back here just to get round two. But any last word you want to give to folks out there?
Well, I'm going to solicit that they pray for you, because you're about to go to Israel yourself, and you're going to feel something when you get there. Most everybody that gets there, they say, I feel like I'm home. I don't understand it. I feel like I'm home. But I'm going to be praying for you, and I hope our listeners will be praying for you over the next couple of weeks, that when you guys go, that God will show you something that will be good for all the rest of us to hear.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. So this is SWAT Radio. We've been having a conversation today with Daniel Williams, who's been doing a lot of work between Christians and the people of Israel. And Daniel, thanks for being here, brother. It's good to hear from you, and it's good to know that you folks are out there listening. Steve, thanks for your work. Doug and Brad will be back next week. God bless you.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety,
then go to SWATradio.com. Click on past shows where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jack.